No one with money wants to buy a business. They want to buy an asset. So if you currently have a business and you want to sell one day, your job as a business owner is to make sure that the business that you have ultimately looks like an asset to an investor. To acquire businesses, there's a big difference between a business, which has customers and employees and issues, and an asset that generates free cash flow and can always pay for its own management. And so if you have a business right now and you ultimately want to sell one day, the big thing that you have to focus on as the owner of the business is making your business look like an asset to a potential acquirer of it. And the crazy thing is, as the entrepreneur, no one else is going to solve this for you. Your investors won't do it for you. Your employees won't do it for you. Your customers won't do it for you. No one is going to help you make these transitions from making your business look like a business that operates something versus an asset that generates free cash flow unless you yourself are focused on it. There are four things that you can focus on that move you further over to the asset side of the spectrum. The more you move your business from business to asset, it makes it more sellable and it actually makes it more fun to own. As people do this in their business, what they thought they got into and wanting to sell the business, a lot of times they just decide that they want to keep it because they've solved all of the issues that they were having when they were running the business themselves. The first area that you have to look at in your business is how revenue is generated in the business. And there are three types of revenue that you can generate. First is called one-off revenue. One-off revenue just means that you convince a customer to buy something, they buy it, and you never see them again. That's one-off revenue. It's the worst type of revenue because it's the least predictable. It looks the most risky to an acquirer because they look at your business and they're saying, I don't know if I can continue to generate this revenue because it's all been one-off revenue. There's nothing that I can predict in the future of how it's going to do. A better type of revenue is repeat revenue, where customers continue to come to you over and over again. Repeat revenue is one of the best ways to know that you have a brand that means something. If you look at a brand like LVMH, which is the company that owns Louis Vuitton and other very high-end brands, they don't have contracts with any of their customers to continue to buy month after month, year after year. But they know that once you buy one Louis Vuitton purse, the likelihood of you buying another one, the likelihood of you being a repeat customer continues to increase, which increases the lifetime value to them as the owner of the business. And so it looks very predictable from the standpoint of a buyer. The third and best type of revenue is recurring revenue. And this is typically when you enter into a contract with a customer for them to continue to buy over and over and over again. If you look at Netflix or Hulu, any of your subscriptions that you have on TV services in the business space, if you look at the lease that you have or the service providers that you use in your business, those tend to be recurring revenue contracts. So when you have that conversation with the buyer and they say, how has revenue looked over time? Has it continued to increase? It's very predictable if it's recurring revenue. If it's repeat revenue, they tend to know that the brand that's associated with the business is a strong brand and people will continue to come back over and over and over again. If it's one-off revenue, it's very difficult for them to know what revenue will look like over time. So if you have a business that mostly generates one-off revenue, you have to figure out the ways that you can get repeat revenue that's trackable to your customer and ideally recurring revenue. A great example of a business that went from one-off revenue to recurring revenue, if you look at Kayla Atsinas, however you say her last name, and moving from the old bikini body guide that they used to have where it was a one-off product where for $60 you would buy a meal plan and a workout guide, and moving that brand to something called Sweat where it was a $9 recurring charge, that took them from doing $30 million a year in business that wasn't worth anything to a buyer to a $420 million exit when they ultimately sold to iFit. So there's always a way that you can move from one-off revenue to repeat and recurring revenue. You just have to find what that answer looks like in your particular business. The second area that you have to focus on is the niche that your business currently occupies. When I was building my own entertainment business, we created an issue for ourselves that we didn't even understand that we made. I started in the trampoline park business, and then I moved to the escape room business, and then the axe throwing business, and then we created a concept of our own. And so whenever I went to a strategic acquirer to sell the business, he looked at all of the segments that we were in, and he told me that my business, even though it was generating $2 million a year in profit, it was worth $0 because we were in too many niches or niches, depending on whether you're from France or the United States. And so you have to really get clear on the niche that you're in. You have to build the brand at the center of the business. When solopreneurs start getting a lot of success in their business, typically what happens is they start thinking of the next way that they can generate profit in the business. And so if they have five customers that are wanting personal coaching from them, and then they have a little SaaS business on the side that could be interesting, they start going very broad and getting distracted from the original niche that they started in. When you look at what the business is from an asset standpoint, without you involved in the business, you have to understand that the more niches or niches that you're in, the less likely the business will be able to succeed without you in it, because you're the centerpiece of the business that makes all of those niches make sense, because it makes sense for you individually. But when you start looking at the business as an asset, the asset has to be able to produce income, generate customers, fulfill on customer expectations without you there. Typically, an entrepreneur has to go from themselves being the center of the business to the brand being at the center of the business. And the brand fulfills on one core promise to a customer, irrespective of what the entrepreneur can and can't do. And once you have the brand at the center, then you can focus on the three other areas of the niche. How do you get distribution? How can potential customers see the message? Who's the team that's going to execute on this? An asset has an execution team that can make sure that all of the promises that are being told to the customers are getting fulfilled, making sure that there's demand there, making sure that you're giving a product to customers that they actually want. So for me and my business, once I got serious about selling Williams Entertainment Group, I realized that we were actually in four different niches. We were in the escape room business, the trampoline park business, the axe throwing business, and the real estate business. And the buyers for each of those businesses were different buyers. And so we had to create separate brands that catered to the separate niches that we were in. And that was ultimately what was able to help us sell the businesses entirely. The third thing that you have to solve in your business in order to turn it into an asset is you have to get really clear on what your product looks like. A business can exist without a clear product because the entrepreneur typically sits at the center of it. As long as you're doing something that brings cash in the door, whether it's an info product or an e-com business or a service-based thing, typically it doesn't really matter because it feels like you're still being profitable. But once you get really serious about moving it to an asset, then the fewer products that you have and the fewer products that you give to customers, the better. If you look at Apple, a $1 trillion company, they have 5 or 6 products that are core to their business, and everything else gets done by third-party vendors and people that they build partnerships with. So the three things that you need in a product in order to have an asset, not a business, is the product needs to be sticky, which means that people continue to come back over and over again. They continue to consume the product over and over again. It needs to be replicable, which means that it can get produced over and over again without you being the one that produces it. And it needs to be valuable, which means that it's not commoditized. It's not easy to find a substitute or an alternative, because that always puts you in price war where it's a race to the bottom and who can deliver the product for the cheapest. And so if you get clear on making your product replicable, sticky, and valuable, then you have a product that fulfills the promise to the customers and it can do it without you being there. Typically, people find themselves in fulfilling two of the three and they never really know what to focus on. So if you have a product that is replicable and valuable, but it's not sticky, it typically means that you need to offer your customers an additional product that allows them to continue to consume from you. So I see this a lot in HVAC businesses where they go to customers' houses and do maintenance, and it's just a one-off thing. You have a AC unit that's broken and it needs to get fixed, and so you hire the HVAC business. A lot of the HVAC businesses that have been bought by private equity firms, what they'll do is they'll offer a monthly maintenance retainer where you pay $80 a month, and any maintenance issue that you have with the HVAC that you have, you just call them and they'll come and fulfill it. And so they've added stickiness to their business. They've added recurring revenue to their business, not because they changed the service that they offer. They just changed the way that they priced it. And they allowed customers to be on a monthly retainer as opposed to just paying one off over and over again. If you have a product that is replicable and sticky, but it's not valuable, typically this means that you're in a commoditized business. If you're going to too broad of a market segment, so an example of this would be Colgate toothpaste has a replicable process, and you may buy Colgate over and over and over again, but it's not valuable to the end consumer because it's not narrowly tailored. So if Colgate wanted to find a way to make this more valuable to people, make it less commoditized, they would need to niche down onto the market that they were really trying to focus on. If they wanted to do the perfect toothpaste for entrepreneurs that are running a service-based business because it's everything that you need to appear great on video and do all of these things, when you really cater to a very specific market, then it can be valuable to that market. And so if you don't have a lot of value, if your product tends to be commoditized, and when you are talking to people, they want to price shop you and they don't think of you as the sole solution to everything that they're looking for, it means that you have a value issue, and you typically have to narrow down on the market that you're applying to and really get a clear and really find a clear way to cater to that specific market. And you can add more value to them because you're only serving them. The third way that businesses tend to not be assets in the product that they offer is when they have a product that is valuable and sticky, but it's not replicable. Typically, this is when the entrepreneur themselves is a genius with 1,000 slaves. They're the one that knows how to do everything. When it's not replicable, the product itself is trying to solve too many issues. And it's typically because you as the entrepreneur are really good at the thing that you do. And you need to be able to build processes and only solve the problems that the process within your business can solve for the customer themselves. I had like a personal development coach, like a leader coach that I would see on a weekly basis. And he could do all this stuff. I could talk to him about my marriage. I could talk to him about everything that was happening in the business, dealing with my kids. I could talk to him about everything. And so every time that he tried to pass me off to someone that wasn't him, I would become really upset with him because he was the one that could solve all of my issues because he was solving everything for me. And so he had built a business that was not replicable because in order to train somebody on all of these things that he was solving for people, it would have taken decades to do and it would have been too expensive to do. And so if he really wanted to get to a place where he was running an asset and not a business, he would have to get very clear on the problem that he solves for people and the process that he uses in order to solve it. Otherwise, he'll never have a replicable product and he'll never be able to sell that business. The last thing that you need to focus on in your business in order to turn it into an asset is where you sit as the founder and what the team looks like without you involved. And there are four places that entrepreneurs tend to find themselves within their business. And the key here is wherever you sit on this triangle that you see right here, that's who your ultimate buyer will be. And so if you are really a self-employed entrepreneur, you are going to sell this thing to someone who is looking for self-employment. And so the higher that you go up onto this triangle, the more money that these people have. So if you go from self-employed to the entrepreneur, then you can ultimately sell to an entrepreneur, and entrepreneurs have more money than people that are self-employed. And so the value of your business goes up. And also the joy that you receive from running the business goes up as you move up on the triangle. Typically, the problem that people have when we get into founder and team stuff is they have an ego issue with how they're running this business. And they feel like the business is nothing without them, which tends to really mean that they are nothing without the business. They have to find what they enjoy doing outside of business, because as they remove themselves from the business, a lot of times they'll find a way to get themselves back into the business because they have nothing else to do with their lives. And so at the bottom of the triangle, you have someone who is self-employed. This is someone who is totally focused on basically doing everything within the business. As you go from self-employed to entrepreneur tends to be someone that is revenue focused, and they figured out a way to get themselves out of the fulfillment of doing the actual thing that the business does. So in the e-com business, you know, the entrepreneur is no longer in the warehouse shipping boxes. They're just figuring out ways to drive growth. That's progress within the business. You're getting closer to having an asset. Then you go from being an entrepreneur to an owner. That means that you've replaced yourself with someone that is revenue focused, and they figured out how to drive revenue within the business. And the owner is growth focused. So they're usually thinking about new products, new initiatives, new alternatives, new markets that they can conquer with the business that they have. And an owner can sell to an owner, and owners have more money to acquire assets. And then the last stage is when you go from owner to investor. And this is when you're kind of out of all of the day-to-day operations of the business. You essentially sit on the board of directors of the business, and you're thinking about how you can add more assets. You're focused on the balance sheet of the business as opposed to the profit and loss statement of the business from then on out. So if you look back on what you focused on over the past week, you'll tend to see whether it's fulfillment related issues, revenue driving issues, growth initiatives, or adding new assets to the business. Wherever you sit there, as you continue to backfill yourself, put people in positions in order to succeed without you there, that's when the business really goes from being a business to an asset, and the team is no longer the thing that's holding them back. This is the actual framework that I use in Exit Operating System, how to turn your business from a business to an asset. And so in the Exit Operating System, we go much deeper on these core four things in terms of moving your business from a business that is run by an entrepreneur to an asset that's run by an investor that can ultimately be sold to an investor one day if you choose to do so. So if that's interesting to you, check the link in the description, check out Exit OS, and we can do a much deeper dive on your particular business.